好了，那么今天给大家讲一部演讲。There is a better way to die, and architecture can help. 希望大家喜欢。I'd like to tell you a story about death and architecture. 100 years ago, we tended to die of infection diseases like pneumonia, that if they took hold, would take us away quite quickly. We tended to die at home, in our own beds, looked after by family, although that was the default option because a lot of people lacked access to medical care. And then in 20th century, a lot of things changed. We developed new medicines like penicillin, so we could treat these infectious diseases. New medical technologies like x-ray and machines were invented. And because they were so big and expensive, we needed large centralized buildings to keep them in. And they became our modern hospitals.After the Second World War, a lot of countries set up universal healthcare systems so that everyone who needed treatment could get it. The result was that lifespans extended from about 45 at the start of the century to almost double that day. The 20th century was this time of huge optimism about what science could offer, but with all of the focus on life,Death was forgotten even as our approach to death changed dramatically. Now I'm an architect, and for the past year and a half, I've been looking at these changes and at what they mean for architecture related to death and dying. We now tend to die of cancer and heart disease, and what that means is that many of us will have a long period of chronic illness at the end of our lives. During that period, we will likely spend a lot of time in hospitals and hospices and care homes. Now, we've all been in a modern hospital. You know those fluorescent lights and the endless corridors and those rows of uncomfortable chairs. Hospital architecture has earned its bad reputation. But the surprising thing is,It wasn't always like this. This is El Hospital degli Innocenti, built in 1419 by Brucci, who was one of the most famous and influential architects of his time. And when I look at this building and then think about hospitals today, what amazes me is this building's ambition.It's just a really great building. It has these courtyards in the middle so that all of the rooms have daylight and fresh air. And the rooms are big, and they have high ceilings so that they just feel more comfortable to be in. And it's also beautiful. Somehow we've forgotten that there's even possible for a hospital. Now, if we want better buildings for dying,then we have to talk about it, but because we find the subject of death uncomfortable, we don't talk about it, and we don't question how we as a society approach death. One of the things that surprised me most in my research, though, is how changeable attitudes actually are. This is the first crematorium in the UK, which was built in working in the 1870s, and when this was first built,There were protests in the local village. Cremation wasn't socially acceptable, and 99.8% of people got buried. And yet, only 100 years later, 75% of us get cremated. People are actually really open to changing things, and they are given the chance to talk about them. So this conversation about death and architecture was what I wanted to start when I did my first exhibition on it in Venice in June, which was called Death in Venice. It was designed to be quite playful so that people will literally engage with it. This is one of our exhibits, which is an interactive map of London that shows just how much of the real estate in the city is given over to death and dying. And as you wave your hands, across the map, the name of that piece of real estate, the building or crematory, is revealed. Another of her exhibits was a series of postcards that people could take away with them, and they showed people's homes and hospitals and cemeteries and mortuaries. And they tell the story of the different spaces that we pass through on either side of death. We wanted to show that where we die is a key part of how we die. Now, the strangest thing was the way that visitors reacted to the exhibition, especially the audiovisual works. We had people dancing and running and jumping as we tried to activate the exhibits in different ways. And at a certain point, they would kind of stop and remember what were in the exhibition about death, and what maybe that's not how you're supposed to act. But actually, I would question whether there's one way that you're supposed to act around death. And if there's not, I'd ask you to think about what you think a good death is, and what you think the architecture that supports a good death might be like, and might not it be a little less like this, and a little more like this. Thank you. 好了，我给大家读完了，不知道大家有没有听明白哈？那么这是一篇很短，有关这个，如果能把医院啊稍微建得好一点，那是不是对死亡有所帮助的一篇演讲？那我来说一说这个 why you should read it, 就是为什么你要听这个演讲呢？ Alison Killing is an architect and urban designer working to engage people with their built environment via design of buildings and urban strategies, filmmaking, exhibition and events. She explores a relationship between death and modern architecture, looking at how cities are rebuilt after disaster.Recent projects include Death in the City and its first iteration, Death in Venice, which was shown as an impending event during the opening week of the Venice Architecture Biennale, a touring exhibition about death and modern architecture. Work with the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies on better rebuilding after disaster and how to integrate relevant urban design tools into humanitarian response.And a study of financial models for arts and community projects, temporarily using vacant buildings to help these projects become self-sustaining. 哎，这就是他所说的这个演讲大概的这个目的。什么意思呢？就是 Alison Killing 这个人，他是一个建筑师 ，an urban designer. Urban 是这个城市，城市的这个设计者。他工作是使得这个他从事一些人 with their built environment 啊，他就是从事一些就是人的这个 built environment 是这个建筑的这个体型啊，体型美，体型 environment 体型美的意思。通过这些房楼的设计，还有城市的这些策略设计，电影的制作，还有这些展览。还有一些事件活动，他啊探索 explores the relationship between death and modern architecture. 他探索了这个关系呢，什么关系呢？就是死与这个现代建筑的关系。Looking at how cities are rebuilt after disaster. 就看看现在这些城市是怎么从这个灾难中重新建起来的。最近一些计划里面包括了这个 death in the city. 啊，就是城市里的死亡，一个这个巡回的一个展览，有关死与现代建筑。Work with the International Federation of Red Cross 和这个国际联盟就是红十字，还有这个 Red Crescent 是一个红月牙、红新月啊、红月牙社区呢。On better rebuilding after disaster and how to integrate relevant urban design tools into humanitarian response.有关这个怎样更好的去重建经过这个灾难，或者怎样去 integrate 是这个使什么成整体一体化哈，把一些无关的一些这些城市的设计工具呢一体化 into humanitarian response 就是一种人道主义啊慈善主义的这种回复。 and a study of financial models for arts and community projects temporarily using vacant buildings to help these projects become self-sustaining. 还有一个学习是什么呢？是这个经济 model, 经济模型 for arts and community, 为了这个艺术与这个社区的这个项目。Temporarily, 暂时临时的是用这个空的这个房子空的建筑去帮助这些项目 become self-sustaining, 是这个自持的自给的。啊就是这个人他整体挺能干的一个人啊整体做的事情。那么现在来看一看这个演讲。我想给大家讲述一个关于死亡和这个建筑的故事。那么100年前呢人类往往死于像肺炎这种传染病。一旦感染上这些疾病呢就会很快的夺走我们的生命。那么有个单词 infectious disease, 就是传染病的意思。那个 P-N-E-U-M-O-N-I-A 叫做这个 pneumonia 是肺炎急性肺炎的意思 If they took hold would take us away quite quickly 那么如果他们这个感染这样疾病呢我们会很快的死去如果我们想死在家里呢或者在我们自己的这个床上呢 Look after by family 想要被家人照顾尽管这是一个 default option, 一个拖欠的不能违约的就是不能履行的一种选择。因为很多人呢缺少这种access to 这个 medical care, 就是医学的机会。很多人缺少这种可以接触这个医学治疗的这个机会。And then in the 20th century, a lot of things changed.那么在20世纪呢很多东西都变了我们开发了很多新的药就像这个 penicillin 叫做这个青霉素啊 So we could treat those infectious diseases 我们可以就是这种啊治这种感染病新的医学的技术就像 x-ray machines 像这个 x-ray 技术是被发明出来的因为他们呢 they were so big and expensive 因为他们又大又贵我们需要大的 centralized buildings to keep them in 我们需要很大的这种很中心的很中心化的这种建筑去把它们装起来它就成为了我们的现代医院 After the Second World War a lot of countries set up universal healthcare system so that everyone who needed treatment could get it 那么就在二战以后呢很多的国家开始建立起来这种全球化的这种健康保障的这个系统。所以呢每一个人呢他们只要需要治疗他们都可以得到。结果就是呢 lifespans extended from about 45 at the start, 那么这个寿命 lifespan, 就是寿命的意思。那么寿命就从45岁它长到了就是那个在这个二世纪就翻了一番。And the 20th century was this time of the huge optimism about what science could offer. 那么二世纪就是一个很乐观的一个世纪因为科技可以给我们很多东西。那么 with all of that focus on life, 很多这些集中在生命上的这些科技呢 ,death was forgotten, 死亡被忽略了。Even as our approach to death changed dramatically,而且就是我们对死亡的这种探讨处理呢也发生了很大的变化。现在呢我是一名建筑师。And for the past years and a half, I've been looking at these changes and at what they mean for architecture related to death and dying. And 在这最近几年呢我一直在寻找一种我一直在观察这种改变。而且 what they mean for architecture,就是他们对建筑是有什么意义与死亡有关我们现在试着去 to die of cancer and heart disease 我们现在可能死于癌症或者是这个心脏病那么它这个跟我们的意义是什么呢就是很多的我们会 will have a long period of chronic illness at the end of our lives 会有很长时段的这个 chronic illness 就是这个长期的慢性的疾病在我们这个人生的后半段。During that period, we're likely spending a lot of time in the hospital. 那么在那段时光，我们可能就是在这个医院里待了很长一段时间。我们可能要住院，啊，我们还要关怀这个料理这个家庭。那么现在呢，我们都去过现代的医院，你们看到那里的荧光灯、无尽的走廊及那几排一点也不舒服的椅子，医院建筑的名声已经很坏。但是奇妙的是呢，并不总是如此。这是1419年啊，有一个叫做Brunesch 这个 B 这个人哈，新建了一个叫孤儿院。那么他是那个时代其中一个最具有影响力的建筑师。当我看着这个建筑，再想想我们今天的医院呢，让我惊奇的是，这栋建筑的追求，这真是一个很棒的建筑。在这中间有个庭院，这样所有的房间都有阳光和新鲜空气。这些房间很大，有些很高的天花板，住进去很舒服，它也很美。莫名其妙我们就忘了，这居然是医院。如果呢，我们想在更好的建筑里离世，我们要好好谈论它。但是我们发现死亡的话题让人不舒服，我们就不想谈，我们都不去查问我们作为一个社会，它怎样迎接死亡。然而在研究中呢，最让我感到惊奇的是其中一件事，就是态度呢实际是怎样变化的。这是英国的第一个火葬场，建于这个1870年。在它初建的时候呢，当地村长很多人抗议说火葬并未被这个广泛接受。99.8% 的人呢选择这个埋葬。但是仅100年后呢，我们3/4的死者呢选择了火葬。人类抱着这个开放的态度来接受改变，前提是呢有机会谈论他们。因此这关于死亡和建筑的对话就是我想要开始的。当我6月份第一次在威尼斯举行展览，名为叫做威尼斯魂断啊，魂断威尼斯，这个展览还是相当好玩的，所以大家都可以参与其中。这是我们其中一个展览品，一幅伦敦地图啊，展示这个城市里留给死人或者垂死之人的房地产数量。 Real estate 是这个房地产的意思。当你右手划过地图，那个房地产建筑物或者公墓的名字就会显现。另一个展品是一系列明信片，大家可以拿走的，他们展示的是众人的家园啊、公墓啊、停尸间什么的。他讲述着我们穿过死亡不同空间的故事。我们想展示的是人类在哪里死亡，就是大家怎样死亡的核心部分。最奇怪的是，就是参观者们对这个展出的反应，尤其是视听作品。我们让众人跳跃、跑动、起舞，通过不同方式活跃展出的氛围。在一些特定的节点上，他们会停止，记住他们在参观死亡展览。也许那不是你们想去做的，但实际上我想要问一下，是否有一种方法，你们想要围绕死亡采取一些行动？如果没有，我就要你们好好想一想，什么是好的死亡，以及你们所认为支持好的死亡的建筑应当是什么样的？啊，是不是应该 a little more than this, a little of that, 少一点这样，多一点那样？好了，我给大家讲完了，不知道大家有没有听明白呢？那么我们下期再会。
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。